Let's stand with me today, if you will, to turn your Bible to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5 this morning. Well, as you felt the Spirit of God here today, good place to be here today in God's house. 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm just going to read one verse to you today, and you've heard it many times. 1 Peter chapter 5, the Bible says in verse 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Casting all your care upon Him. I'm glad it says this. For He careth for you. You can be seated here this morning. You read the Bible in 1 Peter in chapter 5. And Peter writes in chapter 5, he starts out with writing to the preachers, the pastors of the church about leading the flock of God. My job as a pastor, my job as a preacher of God's Word is to feed you the Word of God. And to lead you by an example. And let the Word of God weed you. When there's some in here and he's weeded, the Word of God will weed it on out. That's the job of the pastor in the church. And Peter writes that and he says, do it. And I touched on it this morning in Sunday school. He said, do it willingly. He said, not for filthy lucre or not by constraint. In other words, like I'm forced to do this or I'm being compelled to do this. But I've got a desire to do what I'm doing here this morning. I love serving the Lord. I love preaching God's Word. I love seeing people's lives changed by the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Then on down in that same chapter in 1 Peter, he talks about you sitting in a pew or the sheep. He said, submit yourself now one to another. Now listen to me. You're not going to get anything from God. You're not going to get anything from God's Word until you submit yourself and do what God's Word says to do. You're not going to get any help in your life until you do what the Bible says to do. Until you humbly submit yourself under the authority of the Word of God. And until you submit yourself under what God is telling you to do, you'll not get any help from God. He's not going to help you, friend, if you be disobedient. He's not going to bless you if you be disobedient to what His Word says. He's not going to do it. He's going to make things uncomfortable for you. He's going to make you, listen, feel guilty. And it's good. He's letting you know He loves you. He's going to chasten you if you don't get under authority of God's Word and God's plan and God's purpose and God's will for your life. Then he says on down here, he said, but God, Peter says this, but God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Hey, listen, you want God's grace? You want God's mercy? Humble down, old peacock. Get rid of your pride now and get right with God. Listen, because God will resist you if you come puffed up and proudful in your sin. But I like what the verse I just read, Brother Ricky. It says that God, casting all your care upon Him. Why? Because He cares for you. He said, cast all your care upon Him because He cares for you. I began to look in the building this morning and I see some people that have lived pretty good moral lives and been good, pretty good people. And I can look and say, God, I can understand why You would care about Gareth Mullins. I can understand, God, why You'd care about Bev Mullins. I can understand why You care about different ones in the church that have lived a moral life in front of man. Not only are they saved, and I'm talking about others here. You've lived an upstanding life. You got saved by God's grace. And I look around, I can see why God would care for you. But when I think about me, brother, I think I know what I am. I say, I can't believe that God would care for something like me. seed. I can't believe God would really care what's going on in my life. That God would really love me and care about me to the point, brother, that He would die for me. Now you got to think about who wrote this in the Bible. Peter wrote this in the Bible. And when we think about Peter, we've got a picture, brother, of somebody with a halo over his head. Hello, St. Peter. Oh, but listen to me. Peter, listen, was a fisherman, Goble. And fisherman during that time was a very rough individual. Peter at that time, listen, when he met the Lord, was a very rough man. And the Bible says that Jesus one day was walking along the Sea of Galilee, and he seen a boat, and it had Peter in it, and Andrew, and Jesus went and climbed up in that fisherman's boat. Hey, listen to me. Where do you think they get the term "cuss like a sailor"? A fisherman was a rough man. He wasn't no sissy. He wasn't no reed blown over. Peter was a man's man. He had a rough hand. He worked outside and was rough. And Jesus climbs up into his boat. Watch me now. And they begin to go out into the Sea of Galilee. I'm talking about Peter said, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Are you listening? They get out there to the Sea of Galilee. And Peter, and Jesus said, Peter, let down two nets. And Peter didn't half obey him and let down one net. And Jesus said, honey, put it on the right side of the boat. And Peter put it on that side of the boat and couldn't hardly, Brother Nick, pull it in for all the fish that was in it. Hey, Randall, Peter looked at Jesus. He said, Lord, what are you doing here? I'm a sinful man. And Jesus said, Peter, come follow me and I'll make you a fisher of man. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying Jesus, He cares about you, that He wants to free you from the bondage of sin. He didn't care how rough old Peter was. He didn't care what kind of mouth he had. I could see Peter in today's world. He'd be covered in tattoos. He'd have his nose pierced and his ears pierced and his lips pierced. He looked like AT&T ringing as he's walking down somewhere. But Jesus sees all past that and steps inside his boat and says, Peter, I love you and I care enough about you that I want to free you from the bondage of sin. Oh yeah. You remember when you got in a church, when you come to the church one day, and you began to look around, and you said, that, listen, that woman is more holier than me, or that man has lived a cleaner life than me. I could see how God would bless that man, or how God would bless that woman. But surely God would not bless me because of my background, or things that I've done. But I tell you, Jesus, He cares for you. I don't care where you've come from. I don't care what you've done in your life. I don't care what your past is about or what you walked in here with. And Jesus cares enough about you. He'll get in your boat right now and free you from the bondage of sin. Amen. Amen. But see, we think like this, so we think wrong. Bubby, we think after Jesus saves us and frees us, Brother James Anderson, from our sin, and Brother Garrett, we think that's it. That's all there is to it. He don't care for us no more. Oh, but Nick, that's not true. You see, because after Jesus cared enough about Peter to get into his boat and save him, He cared enough about his family. Oh, listen to me. They went into a house and Peter had a mother-in-law that was sick with a fever. Now, I don't read anywhere where anybody prayed for. I don't read anywhere where Peter said anything about his mother-in-law. The Bible said Jesus saw his mother-in-law and reached down and healed her of the fever. I'm saying He cares enough about you to free you from your sin. He cares even so much about your family and what's going on in your family life. Honey, He cares about your children. Rosie, He cares about Hannah. He knows Hannah's not where she's supposed to be. But He loves Hannah, and He cares about her. He cares about Summer, and He cares about Kurt. He loves them, and He cares about them. Hey, listen here. Put your family member there. Jesus not only cares enough to free you from sin, but He cares enough about your problems in your family. I read of a man, he come to the disciples, and Jamie, they couldn't do nothing for his boy. Oh, listen to me, Garrett. I've seen people bring their kids, troubled kids, or pray for a troubled family member. Hey, it's nothing I can do for them. I can talk to them. I can counsel them. But what they need, Goble, is a sweet Holy Ghost of God to save them and to clean them up. And Jesus cares about your family. He loves them. He cares about them and wants to help them. Some of you got lost children. Some of you got lost mommies. Some of you got lost daddies. Some of you got lost spouses that are out there. Some of you got so many family problems. Hey, listen to me. You say, Lord, don't care about me. Oh, the Lord don't care about my problems. Yes, He does. He loves you. The Bible says in Hebrews, in chapter 4, Brother Nick, about verse 15, it says, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Oh, but listen to me. He was tempted at all points like us, yet without sin. And verse 16 says it like this. And therefore, we can come boldly before the throne of grace, and we can find help and mercy in the time of need. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that Jesus feels what you feel, Woody. Did you know Paul said that we have a spirit in us that groans and makes intercession for us, and when we don't even know what to say? I believe Jesus is sitting on the right hand of God, and the Bible says that we can come boldly or confidently before the throne of grace. And I believe Jesus looks down and says, I see Jason Merck, and I see he's aggravated, and I see he's troubled, and I see he's worried about something, and Jesus sitting on that throne, buddy. He begins to feel that way because Jason feels that way. And I believe Jesus looks over at the Father and says, help him, Lord. Help him, Father. He's a struggling. I'm feeling what he's a feeling about his kid. I'm feeling what he's a feeling about his situation. And I believe God the Father dispatches the sweet Holy Ghost down to Jason and helps him in his time of need.
Amen. Amen.
That's how much he cares. That's how much he cares for you. He feels, honey, what you're feeling. Hey, listen, in John 11:35 is the shortest verse in all the Bible. Oh, but it says so much. And Jesus went down and Lazarus was dead. In John 11:35, it said Jesus wept. Nick, he's God. He done knows everything. He done knows he's going to raise him from the dead and everything's going to be okay. What's he weeping for? I mean, I got this, Martha. I got this, Mary. I see all his friends here crying. But why are you crying? I've got this covered. Why did Jesus cry? Because he felt what they was feeling. And he had compassion on him. Hey, listen, Jesus cares enough for you, honey. When you're laying in the bed at night and you're tossing and turning on your pillow and you're crying and you don't know what to say, there's a God in heaven that feels what you're feeling. And he loves you. And he'll help you. Why? Because, Ricky, he cares for you.
Amen.
He does. You say, oh, brother, he don't care for me. Yes, he does. You say, preacher, if he cares for me, then why have I had all these problems in my life? Why did I get abused when I was a little girl? Why did I get hurt when I was a little boy? Why did mom and dad break up and leave me in the situation that I'm in? That's not on God, honey. And God allows you and I to make choices. And men and women in their sin make choices. And little girls like this get hurt. And little boys get hurt that grow up to be grown people. And they carry that hurt. But that's not God's fault.
That's sin's fault. That's man's fault. But even in all that mess, listen to me, God cares about you, and God loves you, and He wants to help you and give you a purpose in this life.
Amen.
Oh yeah. What He feels, what we feel. Jeff, He cares about you. After you got saved, Jeff, you struggled, brother. And you laid up there in the bed. I know you don't care for me telling this. You was going in a deep, dark valley. And no doubt you didn't know what to say. We called and talked to Jeff. He didn't know what to say to us, did he, Gert? Hey, he couldn't talk to us. Hey, listen, but there was a God in heaven on the throne who knew what Jeff was going through. He knew what Jeff was feeling. He knew what it feels like to be betrayed, Brother Nick. He knows what it feels like to be lied upon. He knows what it feels like to be hurt. He knows what it feels like. Any feeling that we go through, He sits on the throne and He cares for you and He feels for you.
Amen.
He said, we don't have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity. You know what that means? Back in the old day, they would take their sacrifices, that old priest, and he would stand there, but he couldn't relate to you because he was a priest. And all you could do would he was give him your sacrifice, and he would satisfy the demands of the law with your sacrifice. He couldn't relate to your situation. He didn't know what you was going through. He didn't know what you was feeling. But Jesus is our great high priest. All that's up in heaven, and He knows. He is affected by what we're affected by. He knows what we're going through. And He loves us. You say it's so unimportant, Brother Kevin. It's so, listen, it's not. It's important to Him. It affects you. He loves you. He feels for you. And whatever the case may be, God loves you and cares for you.
Amen.
He said, cast all your care upon Him because He cared for you. Church people may not care. The preacher may not care. Hey, listen, the world may not care. Your own family may not even care. But I'm going to promise you this morning one thing on the authority of God's book, brother. He said, cast your care upon Him because He cares for you.
Amen.
Do you know He cares enough to free you from sin? Did you know that? He cares about your family, would He? He does. He cares how you're feeling, Garrett. Do you know He even cares about your finances? You say, Brother Kevin, where's that at in the Bible? Well, Jesus and Peter and the boys was going down one day a place. And some of them come to them collecting taxes. They said, Peter, are you going to pay up, buddy? Peter's broke. Peter went to Jesus with it. That's what we ought to do. Peter went to Jesus with it and said, Jesus, what am I going to do? I ain't got no money. Jesus, I'm going to tell you what you do. I don't want to offend this bunch, He said. Here's what you're going to do, Peter. He said, you go, you like to fish, don't you? Yeah, Lord. Well, don't put no bait on your hook. Just take a hook, He said. Don't put everybody go fishing with just a hook. You just throw a hook out there. You ain't going to catch. You, listen, Bubba, you fish a lot, you and Adam. You go throw a bait out there. You go throw a hook out there in the water. You ain't going to catch them. But Jesus said, Peter, this ain't going to make no sense to you. Matter of fact, it's going to seem kind of odd. But I want you to go just cast that line with that hook out in the water. And you're going to catch a fish on that. That's a miracle in itself. But here's the thing. He said, when you reel that fish in, open its mouth, ain't going to be two coins in it. He said, one for you and one for me. He said, go pay them. What are you saying, preacher? Hey, listen, have you ever been to a place in your life where you said, I don't know how I'm going to make that bill. I don't know how I'm going to come through here. All of a sudden, the Lord, see, He didn't want Peter to bait the hook because Peter could have said, I'm a pretty good fisherman. I put my Zebco out there and worked that jig and caught that fish. He said, you throw it out there because it's going to be come from me, and you ain't going to attribute it to nobody else. Have you ever needed a bill paid, and all of a sudden somebody comes along and says, I owe you some money, and gives you some money, or you go to the mailbox and something's out there for you, or somebody comes by and says, I want to be a blessing to you, and gives you some money, and you say, wow, where'd that come from? That's that manna that comes on high, because God cares about you.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, yeah. There's a little woman, one of these little camp houses down in North Carolina. You know how they live close together. Jamie, she'd go out every day and she'd pray on her back porch. She went out one day and she was praying. Her refrigerator was empty and her cabinets was empty and she was broke. Her neighbor didn't believe in God, and he couldn't stand that woman. She'd go out there and pray every morning. He'd sit on his porch. I can't stand that woman. One day, Gert, she went out and prayed, and she said, Lord, she said, the cupboard is empty, the refrigerator's bare, and I'm broke. She said, I need some groceries, Lord. Lord, I need some groceries by this evening. That old man heard that on that porch. That old man said, I'm going to get her right now. I'm going to show her there ain't no God. So that old boy went to the store, and he bought a busty load, Brother Nick, of groceries. And he come back home, and he snuck around in her jail, and he put them on her porch. Then he knocked on the door and went around and hid in the bushes. That woman stepped out and sold them groceries. Honey, she went having a shouting spell, thanking God for what he had done for her in her life. About the time she was shouting, hey, listen to me, that old boy jumped out behind the bushes. He said, I brought them groceries to you. I've been telling you they wasn't no God. She didn't miss a beat, brother. She said, thank you, Lord. You even used the devil to bring me the groceries. Hey, that's the way God works, brother. He loves you. He cares about you. He's looking out for you. He loves you. He cares about you. Even your finances. How you're feeling. You say, brother, I come in here today. I'm feeling pretty bad. He cares about you. Yeah. Bubby, every time you get nervous and every time you get fearful,
right.
And every time you hit your knees,
amen.
You don't know what to say sometimes. You just cry or you just say, God help me. Lord Jesus is right there and he says, I feel that, Bubby.
Right.
I feel him for Bubby, the Lord. Lord,
amen.
Help him right here, Holy Ghost. Help him, give him a little help right here. Hey, listen to me. Oh, listen, you're praying for your children and you're at the wit's end and you say, I don't know what to do. Hey, God cares about you. The little tiny things in your life that you think's unimportant. You say, nobody cares about my family. Nobody cares about my dad or my mom. Nobody cares what happens to me. Yes, they do. The Bible says, cast all your care, Brother Nick, on him because he cares for you.
Amen.
He loved Peter that much. And the Bible says he is no respecter of persons. Peter's telling him, said, cast your care because he cares for you. You know something else, Jeff? He cares about you no matter how bad you failed. Even after you've been saved. Do you know that? Jesus told Peter, would he? He said, Peter, he said, you're going to deny me. You're going to deny me. Now the Son of God's telling you, you're going to deny. Now think about this. If Jesus was to walk up to you, Nick, say, Nick, tomorrow about 3 o'clock, you're really going to fail me bad. Now he's Jesus. Would you rebuke Jesus? Lord, you don't know what you're talking about. That's what Peter done. You don't know what you're talking about. I ain't never going to rebuke you. He's God.
Yeah.
That's what Peter done.
Amen.
Instead of saying, Lord, I don't want to fail you and get on my knees. Lord, help me. You know what's going to happen at 3 o'clock tomorrow. I don't, but give me the strength to make it. Peter didn't say that. Peter said, I ain't going to fail you. I'll be with you when all men forsake you. Jesus said, okay, big boy, we're going to see. Hey, listen, a little bit later on, the Bible says that Peter was out there following him afar off. You know how some people are? They get saved and they start to follow him a little bit until the pressure gets on and they drift off, get afar off.
Yeah.
That's what Peter's done. And they began to say, hey, we seen you around Jesus. They said, no. No, you didn't see me. Well, another one came up to him, Brother Randall, and said, hey, we know we seen you with Jesus.
Yeah.
He said, no. No, you didn't see me. Now, listen, before you say, I wouldn't do that, let's see how you are right here, okay? Have you ever prayed and said, Lord, I'm never going to do that again?
Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
And guess what happens? You do it again.
That's right.
You feel bad and you say, Lord, help me this time. I'm never, ever going to do it again.
Yeah.
And you do it again. Now, before you get critical of old Brother Peter, look at you. Or have you ever said, Lord, give me the wisdom and strength. And Lord, I want to do this, but you don't never do it. Have you ever said, Lord, I want to be more faithful to church, but you don't want more faithful to church? Have you ever said, Lord, I'm going to be more faithful to read my Bible, but you're not more faithful to read my Bible? Have you ever just said, Lord, I'm going to be more faithful to pray, but you're not? Then you're just like Peter. But even in the midst of all that, God cares for you. You know what the last thing they did? They come up and they said, we know that you've been with him. Your speech betrayeth thee. And listen to me. If you've been saved by the grace of God and you're walking right, your talk will be a little bit different. You had to have a mouth like a gutter. You had to have a mouth like a sewer outlet. And they said, look here, you talk different than everybody else. And Peter, he already said, he began to cuss. He said, no, I got a mouth like y'all. And they said, oh, you ain't no preacher. Yeah, that's right, you don't know them. And the last thing that Jesus seen of Peter is him taking pale and running away from him. But on that third day, when Jesus rose from the grave, he told the women, he said, go tell my disciples and Peter. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that the Lord cares even when you fail. I'm telling you, the Lord cares even when you mess up. Even when you're not what you're supposed to be. Ricky, he cares for you. He cares for you. You know, this woman, I've been reading the history behind some of these songs. And pick that up, Zach, before I trip over it. Thank you. I've been reading the history behind some of these songs. There's a woman named Sevilla Martin. Now, let me tell you what she wrote a song. You've all heard this song. In the early 1900s, her and her husband would go up to New York, and they would visit with a couple. One woman had been bedridden, Brother Garrett, for 25 years. Their names were Doolittles. Her husband, they'd been married 50-some years. Her husband had been confined to a wheelchair for that long time. They wasn't Social Security back then, and all Medicare and all that. So he would have to get out and work in his wheelchair. She was in the bed, and he would come home at his lunch, turn her, feed her, he'd go back out. Anyway, Sevilla Martin and her husband would go there and visit with these people, and they never heard them murmur. They never heard them complain. And that woman was always laying in that bed when they come there, Jamie, humming a song and smiling. And so they got to know this couple, so that Sevilla Martin went out there one day and she said, let me ask you something. She said, me and my husband have been coming and visited you for some while. She said, I have never seen you complain. Your husband don't complain. Said, you're bedridden and he's in a wheelchair. And every time I come here, you're singing. You're humming. You just have the best spirit and the best attitude ever was. And you know what that woman said? That little woman in the bed said, Matthew chapter 10 says, his eyes on the sparrow, and I know he watches over me. And that woman, Sevilla Martin, that touched her heart so much that she wrote a song. And here's what the chorus says. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. Because his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. And it was sung every Billy Graham crusade. It's been sung everywhere across the world. It's called his eyes on the sparrow, and I know he watches over me. That verse in Matthew 10, Jeff, and Jesus looked at his disciples and Brother Adam when they was worried. And he said, look here, boys, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? He said, but yet not one, Brother Jeff, falls to the ground without your Heavenly Father taking notice and seeing. He said, are you not more valuable to God than all the sparrows? He said, for even the very hairs on your head are numbered. He didn't say counted. He said numbered. That means he said hair one. I like that hair. Hair two. He took account of that hair. He loves you that much that he cares about you. If he takes note and attends every funeral of a bird that falls from the ground, how much more does he love you? Mirror Adam. I'm going to ask you to stand right now.